Sounds so exotic. I was just a murderer.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was a cold-blooded, premeditated murder.
Bourbon on the pot.
Okay. All right, guys. Welcome back to Crew Crime a True. It's obviously been far too long. We have missed you guys. Okay. Welcome back to Crew Crime a True Crime Podcast with Sav.
And Mads.
And we have fucking missed the fuck out of you guys.
We have.
And also out of each other.
Yes.
I missed you.
Making out on the pod.
No, seriously, I've missed Mads. Because as you guys know from the last podcast, which we thought was going to be us back from a hiatus,
yeah.
But wasn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mads and I no longer live together.
No.
Tragic.
I wouldn't even say tragic. I mean, we're chilling in your new place. It's fucking dope.
Yes. We just don't get to chill every day like we used to.
That is true.
Which is a damn shame. Mm-hmm. But with that all being said, we've missed the fuck out of you guys.
Yes.
It's been really nice to hear how much you guys have missed the fuck out of us. So to anybody who sent us a message during this time in our lives, this crazy chaos, to all of the uplifting messages we have received, thank you.
If you haven't sent us a message, just thanks for listening, dude.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And we have had a lot of new listeners during this break. So to all of our new listeners,
welcome to the shit show.
Yeah. Seriously.
If you couldn't tell, me and Sav are already pretty intoxicated.
We've been drinking for like 2 hours. 2 hours.
Cheers. If you're wondering what I'm sipping on, it's a Wild Basin. And if you're wondering what Sav is sipping on, it's wine out of a water bottle.
Out of an Arrowhead water bottle, quite frankly. Hey, it's got a flip cap. We all know I'm about that flip.
That's better.
Cap. I wish it was a Fiji flip. But
then
I will accept it.
Yeah,
that would be real classy. But I'm sipping out of an Arrowhead flip cap. Mm-hmm. So not quite as classy. But Carla Rossi sangria out of my giant jug. Y'all know me.
Carla Rossi is the
sangria only. Fuck all the other Carla Rossi.
No, but seriously, guys, thank you so much for sticking with us and hanging out with us. We love you guys. And we love doing the pod.
Ooh,
so
we love it so much.
Thanks for hanging out.
And it feels good to be doing it again.
It does.
So cheers, bitch.
Cheers. Yeah, you hear that water bottle?
Yeah. Water bottle and a can.
Okay, so without further ado... Can you guess who I'm doing at all
I can't.
Week?
You literally... All she told me is, bro, got the fucking craziest story for you. I hope you've never heard of him.
Okay.
Based on that, I've never heard of him.
Let's throw out the name then. Herbert Mullen.
I've never heard of him.
You've never heard of him. Okay, good.
Who the fuck is Herbert Mullen?
Well, I'm excited that you asked, because I have some information.
I would hope you have a whole list of notes
about
it. But
before we get into it, I have to show you a picture of this guy.
Oh, yeah. Apparently he's supposed to remind me of someone.
He is going to resemble someone that you know very well, and you tell me who you think it is.
I'm nervous.
Okay, close your eyes, ready?
Okay.
Okay, three, two, one.
Alec.
It's Alec.
Okay, Alec is gonna have to listen to this episode at the very least.
Dude, here's the thing. I looked up a picture of him before I even started doing the notes, because I always do that, because I feel like I get more connected
with
the story and
I
everything.
I care more about the guy.
Yeah, not care more, but then I get, like, a sense of what's going on.
A little more invested.
Yeah, all I could imagine was Alec running around doing this 13-person crime spree.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you guys might know Alec from our Horse Hog Homes episode.
And Jackin' and Rippin'.
And also the Halloween special.
Yes! He was a fucking pussy at Asylum 49.
He was such a puss. Love you, Alec.
Mwah.
Okay, so we'll get straight into
it. Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So we'll start out with Herbert as a child. He was born on 18...
He was born on 18 what?
He was born on April 18th, 1947.
Okay.
In Salinas, California. All of our Californian listeners, I'm so fucking sorry.
Salinas?
I have no idea.
Salinas, probably.
I
don't know. We never do.
But he spent the majority of his childhood and teenage years in Santa Cruz. And I can pronounce that one, so
thank you. That's very easy.
Yep. And he grew up in a very Catholic home. He attended church every Sunday, and he says that he went to confessional at least once a month.
Okay.
So he
he's like righting his wrongs, I guess,
The
Lord.
When he didn't even need to yet.
Oh.
But his dad was a World War II vet, and he was, like, pretty strict with his son, but not abusive. He was just kind of, like, your 1950s dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. World War II vet. He was, like, doing his thing. And then his mom was just kind of, like, the stereotypical old-timey housewife, you know?
Right.
Baking brownies and just doing whatever the fuck.
Wiping her counters.
Yeah, yeah.
Washing some laundry on a washboard? Or do they have washers and dryers at this point?
I'm imagining a washboard just because it's old-timey.
Yeah, washboard and, like, clothes rack.
Yeah.
Pin rack. Close like racks outside. On a pin. Burping on the pod.
But yeah, definitely. And he was, like, actually really popular in school. I mean, like, as you saw, he was a handsome guy. Shout out to Alec.
Yeah. Alec, you're a handsome fucking guy, bro.
Yeah, he is.
Keep being it.
Keep doing that shit with your face.
You look great all the time.
But he was really popular. He did football, and he was really good at football, even though he was kind of on the smaller side. He was, like, 5'9", 5'10", not super tall.
I mean, that's not super tiny.
No, but for football.
I mean.
For football. Yeah. And he was also really good at baseball. So he was out there doing the fucking team sports. Yeah. And he was actually voted most likely to succeed in high school.
Good for him. Ooh, it doesn't seem like that's wrong. What happened. Well, maybe he succeeded in his own ways.
He very much did, and we'll get into that.
Yikes.
I actually feel bad for Herb.
You call him Herb.
Herb. Yeah, I feel bad for Herb.
Herb Mullen.
Herbert.
I feel bad for Herb.
Yeah, and I mean, here's this little bullet point here. Okay. Herb also experimented with drugs in high school, mainly weed, acid, and alcohol.
All the fun ones. Where were the shrooms?
I don't know if he did. Well, he probably did. They said psychedelics, but his drug of choice was acid and weed.
Well.
That's what he did.
You know what's up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was fucking living. He had a scholarship, a long-term girlfriend who he had had for years, plenty of friends, and life was going pretty good for him.
Okay.
Like, it actually was.
Jock, maybe.
In a sense. A little bit. Until his best friend, Dean Richardson, was killed in a car accident.
Oh, no. In high school?
Mm-hmm. I think it was their senior year or, like, right after they graduated. Oh. I couldn't get an exact time frame, but it was right around then.
Regardless, tough,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it was really hard for him. And after this event, Herb started spiraling downward really bad. And he built a shrine for Dean in his room. And he later admitted that he was, like, actually romantically in love with Dean.
Really?
So there were some repressed homosexual urges going on. You know, he grew up in a Catholic house. He was romantically in love with Dean, but he had this long-term girlfriend.
And he's also the big jock, popular, people are, like, looking at him.
And then Dean dies. And he is fucking spiraling. He is going through it really fucking hard.
Okay, that's tragic. And Herb, I feel for you.
Yeah, I fucking, my heart. Ugh.
That's rough.
But soon
if
after
you died in a car crash in high school, Maddie, I would have never been okay.
Could you fucking imagine, dude? I would have never been okay. We wouldn't have this podcast.
Oh, no.
It's really sad. So I can understand why he was going through it, especially if he was in love with him and he never got to tell him that. Like, that's really hard.
Oh, my God.
But soon after Dean's car accident, Herb began to experience auditory and visual hallucinations.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And most of them were centered around God.
That's
so he started having very intense hallucinations. Yeah. And around this time, Herb's long-term girlfriend, who he had recently proposed to, they were going to get married.
Oh, shit.
Okay. She left him due to his paranoid delusions. And here's the thing, she was completely valid in doing so.
I fully respect her in doing that, simply because, like, if that's not something that you can handle, you matter most in this world. I think you are the most important thing. Care about yourself, handle your shit. She had to get out of there.
Yeah.
Devastating for Herb.
Oh, definitely.
Devastating for Herb,
especially
because
he was trying to be pretty, from what I could tell, controlling of her. Okay. He was trying to, like, just keep her in. Because he was paranoid about, like, what do you think of me? Like, what are you doing? Like, all this type of shit. And so she just left.
I mean, I would too, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you should. You should.
I need to care more about myself in that situation, and I hope the best for you, Herb.
Well, it doesn't happen. But during this time, he started trying to self-medicate with even more weed and even more LSD, which
LSD is not medication. If we can bring it back, LSD is not medication. Marijuana, I can understand. Smoke some weed, feel a little better. Maybe your body feels a little bit, a little better. Maybe your mind feels a little better. Sure,
but not LSD? If you are a paranoid schizophrenic.
Well, then definitely not. It's gonna make you more paranoid, more paranoid.
Well, as we know, fucking what induces, well, not always, but a lot of the time, what induces schizophrenia at a young age is weed and hallucinogens.
Yes.
And this guy was like, oh, I'm having schizophrenic episodes. I'm going to add more weed. 7 tabs of acid. And he was that type of guy where he would go to a party and everyone's like having a fun time, whatever. And he would take half a sheet of acid. You know what I mean? Like he would do that type of shit.
Just rub the shit out of my forehead.
Yeah.
So, don't do that.
Because of all this shit, at age 21, Herb's family committed him to a mental hospital due to his erratic and self-destructive behavior. And, like, just a little glimpse into that, he would, like, put cigarettes out on himself. Mm. Things like that. Like, he would be having, like, a paranoid episode, and he would just be, like, singeing his skin.
It's maybe to bring himself back to reality.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But it's not gonna. Mm-mm. You've just taken too much acid, bro.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna bring you back to reality.
Yeah. Which is right. So fucking sad. So he's spiraling.
Stick to
right
the
now.
Weed however you need. Don't rely on.
Stick to the weed however you need.
Dr. Seuss in this hoose.
I'm gonna fucking throw myself out the window. Dr. Seuss.
In this hoose.
And Canadian for some reason. Okay, but in his early 20s, like very early 20s, he was first admitted to a psychiatric hospital at 21.
Tough.
So he was in and out for several years. And he would be admitted and he would go willingly and then he would leave super quick.
Because he went willingly, he can leave willingly,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he never made, like, threats on his own life or anything, so there was no, like, holding him. It was, like, he would stay for a week and then he'd be like, okay, I gotta go. And do you remember the God-centered delusions?
Yeah.
Well, at one point, he decided to become a priest to appease the voices.
No. Have you seen The Devil All the Time, bro?
Oh, of course I have.
Don't do that, right?
Well, he tried to, and the church was like, fuck right off. And they just told him to get out.
Okay.
Because they were like, oh, why do you want to become a priest? He's like, you know, the voice of God is in my head, and he's telling me all the time. And they're like, you need to get out.
They're like, as much as we appreciate your enthusiasm,
this is
you're
a
crazy.
Too much.
So, please.
Yeah, 100%. And he also attempted to live by himself in a small apartment.
Oh, that's
crazy. In his early 20s. But he was quickly evicted when his neighbors complained about him pounding on the floor and shouting at people when he had no guests over.
Oh my God.
So he was like having manic episodes and like delusions to the point where his neighbors were like, holy fucking shit, dude.
That stresses me out for this guy.
Yeah. So he was
this
really
guy's bound
going
to snap, right?
Yeah. And it was the saddest thing because, like, after doing research into this, I actually looked into just, like, schizophrenia and, like, what people feel like when they're going through it. And the pain is unimaginable. A lot of people that have suffered with it for years, they're like, I can't take the pain anymore of just constantly feeling like someone's after me, like hearing voices, seeing things, feeling things. And knowing that it's not real, but having it feel so real.
That's
pain
the
is
problem,
intense.
Is the people who don't know that it's not real seem to vibe with it more because they haven't realized that all that shit's just in their head, right? But have you seen A Beautiful Mind?
Yeah.
With Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Great.
Great program.
Phenomenal film. Fucking great program, bro.
Yeah, it's really because good.
Because it explains schizophrenia. If for any of our listeners who haven't seen, just watch that shit.
Yeah.
It explains schizophrenia into a way that you can understand the person going through it. And you can be like, oh, that shit's real. And that shit impacts them. And it feels real to them.
Yes.
So if this feels real to this guy, I feel for
which
him.
It did.
Regardless of what he does after, I feel for him in this moment.
Yeah. And dude, shout out to any of our listeners with schizophrenia
shout
or with any family
out.
Members who have schizophrenia. You are a strong bitch and fucking you're going to get through it.
Life sucks.
Just be there for people.
And also eliminate yourself when you feel you need to because nothing that anyone else is going through is enough to shatter your soul.
Of course. Yeah.
That's maybe I'm just going through my own shit right now. But like
she is. But I that's am. Okay.
Yeah. But care about yourself and care about other people, especially the people who are going through shit like this.
Yeah.
Because your understanding, I think, means more.
Shit can be hard. And to be a family member that has someone that has schizophrenia, like this next little point I have here, Herb's sister. This is when she started really getting scared of what was going on. Like, she was already concerned and, like, whatever.
As you would be,
though. But she claims that the incident that truly caused her to worry about her brother was one night during a family dinner. Unprompted, Herb began to mimic every action that his sister's husband made for hours. So, like, he would be sitting there, like, grab a spoonful of soup, and Herb would grab his spoon and do the same thing. He would stand up, Herb would stand up. He would do something, Herb would do the same thing. And that
Herb would say the same thing.
It was just physical.
Just physical.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which is a big sign of paranoid schizophrenia, is copying those movements like that. And so that's when his sister was like, holy fucking shit. Like, something's really wrong with Herb.
For hours.
Literally, he didn't stop. He didn't stop for hours and hours and hours. Like, her sister's husband would move his leg, right? Herb would do the same thing. He would cough. Herb would cough. It was very unnerving for her and the entire family to see.
I can imagine, like, 30 minutes being like, this shit's weird. But if you were, like, come out of it, I'd be like, okay. If your whole dinner, your whole night went like this, I would be like, bro, something's up.
Yeah, it was very
scary. So the fact that she feels something up, thank God.
Yeah.
What does she do? Nothing?
Nothing.
She just stresses about it.
Yeah. Pretty much Herb's family was very, like, they were, like, a very stereotypical 1950s family, and so mental illness wasn't something that they touched on. They saw Herb going through this, and they're like, let the professionals handle this. They didn't, like, talk to him.
Especially in that time, though, professionals are not great,
bro. No, they're not. And so that leads us to the first murder.
Whoa, I thought we'd never get there. Yeah. What?
So
okay, I'm not ready. Okay.
You're gonna shit your pants.
Thank God I said so many K's. But
not just three. None of that shit on the pod.
No, never. No. Fuck that. Okay.
Are you ready?
Forgot my point. So let's hear it.
Okay. So by the time that Herb reached 25 years old.
This is very young.
Yeah, the voices in his head, which again, he viewed as God, were telling him that there was a massive earthquake on the way, one so big that it could wipe out California's entire population. So he believes that God is telling him, like, hey, Herb, there's something coming, and you need to do something about it.
I don't think killing 13 people is the right answer, but let's hear.
The voices told Herb that the only way to prevent this earthquake was through human sacrifice.
No.
And only he could do this because he was the chosen savior. He was the 13th disciple.
I mean, he's not.
Well, that's what the voices told him. And he thoroughly believed it.
Because the voices feel so goddamn real. Yeah. And because to him, they are.
Yeah. Which, goddamn,
Damn it. This is a good story.
And are you ready for this? There's so many coincidences in this story that line up in a way where I'm like, fuck, this was not good for his delusions.
No! But coincidences are terrible for delusions. Yeah.
Herb believed he was chosen because his birthday was on April 18th, the anniversary of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, which fucking demolished San Francisco.
I've looked into that fucking earthquake. Yeah. That's...
So he believed, like, I am chosen to help prevent something like that. So Herb also believed that the Vietnam War had caused enough death to postpone any earthquakes, but the war began to wind down towards the end of 1972, so he knew that he would have to keep up the death toll on his own to prevent any future earthquakes.
While I disagree with the way he sees this, I can see how he's seeing it, and that's tragic and terrifying.
And I mean, coincidences. Again, it all lines up where he's like, oh, the Vietnam War is happening right now. That's why there haven't been any big, like, devastating earthquakes. And he's like, oh, it's winding to an end right now. That means it's my turn now to step up. And that's why these voices are coming to me.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
So are you ready for this?
No.
On October 13th, 1972.
7 days after my birthday.
Yep.
Okay, keep going.
Herb was driving down Highway 9, which is in California, when he heard a voice telepathically call to him. Mm. The voice came from Lawrence White, a.k.a. Whitey. He was a local beloved hobo.
Oh.
And that's how they described him. I hope no one takes offense to the term hobo. He was a homeless man. But everyone said he was a beloved hobo in the community.
And as long as they're saying beloved hobo, I have
they
no
fucking
qualms.
Loved this guy.
Yeah.
So, he had been hitchhiking on Highway 9, Whitey had. And Lawrence telepathically communicated to Herb that he needed to be the first sacrifice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Herb said that Lawrence told him he was Jonah from the Bible, and he had said to him, pick me up and throw me over the boat. Kill me so others will be saved. And that's the voice that Herb heard in his head. So Herb pulled over his car near Lawrence, not directly near him, but pulled over, lifted up his hood, and pretended to have car problems. Oh, he's pretending to have issues with his engine. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't respect that.
No. So Whitey approached him, and Herb proceeded to get a baseball bat out of the backseat of his car while Whitey looked into the hood of his trunk.
Because Whitey's trying to be a homie.
Yeah, he was trying to figure out if he could figure out what's going on with his car. So as Whitey leaned over, Herb grabbed the baseball bat and proceeded to beat him to death on the highway.
With a baseball bat.
Yeah. Yeah. So after Whitey had been beat to a pulp, Herb put the baseball bat back in his car and he drove away. And he left
him on the side of the road.
And he was old. He was like in his 60s or 70s. So he beat an old man to death and left his body on the side of the road.
Oh my
God. And he was super well liked in the community. Mm. He was just a nice old homeless man with no enemies. So the investigation into his death went cold almost immediately.
They were like, who the fuck could possibly do this to this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Herb is hearing Herb, as in herbs.
Herb.
Herb is hearing these voices. They're telling him to do some shit. I mean, he thinks he needs to amp up the death toll because the Vietnam War is not happening so much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As much as I don't understand that, like, okay, he's got his delusions, he's doing that.
Severe delusions.
I have a severe problem with the fact that he didn't shoot the guy or make it a quick death, right?
Well, that makes you feel any better.
To death with a baseball bat, dude.
He hit him in the head and that killed him instantly, but then he overkilled. Proceeded to beat him severely.
Well, I mean, as long as the guy... This is not okay.
No, it's not.
But as long as the guy died quickly, like... That brings me some fucking solace.
Yeah,
some.
Definitely. I mean, he was an old man. Like, he was in his 60s.
A one hit to the head with a baseball bat will probably do it, unfortunately.
And it did.
That's really devastating.
Yeah, it's super sad.
All right, it really is. Our beloved Whitey.
R.I.P. Whitey the hobo.
Silence
You're
on the pod.
You're fucking awesome, dude.
For Whitey the hobo.
Our beloved. Drinks out of her water bottle full of wine.
Fuck off.
No, Whitey would love it.
Whitey would be right on this. Shout out to Whitey, my fucking guy, bro.
Yeah, this Lawrence? One's for you. Whitey Lawrence, yeah.
Okay, I love you, man. And I'm so sorry.
Yeah, shit's really... This whole case is super sad just because Herb was in the midst of some delusions. And in the heart of it, he, like, actually thought that he was trying to do better for humanity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to defend him.
No, and I
get that. Not because he wasn't.
Well, in the end, no
And any logical person could look at this and be like, he's not doing any good for humanity. Yes. But Herb was like, I'm trying to save lives by taking some lives.
And remember the episode that we did where it was our most recent kind of cannibal shit where you did the fucking tea cakes, lady,
bro? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I re-listened to that episode with my coworkers recently, and as I was listening to that episode, and I was hearing the way we talk about it, the big thing there is, like, I hope you guys understand, like, we try so hard to see it from other people's perspectives, right?
100%,
and while at no point does that justify ever anybody's behavior, because this shit's not right, and it never is gonna be right.
Yeah.
To see the way that they may feel going into it, that lady, she was trying to save her son.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that, in her mind, that's all she cared about. And some of the shit she did was brutal.
A lot of it, yeah.
Oh, dude, it was brutal. But, like, she's out here trying to save her son. And to, in her mind, while not in our minds, it was the only way to go. So, in this minute, Herb.
He thinks he's saving the entire state of California.
He thinks he is... fucking fighting for something that really matters.
Yeah.
And I can respect that. He is not doing it the way that it should be done. And also, does the state need saving? Big question to ask. And if the state does need saving from an earthquake, bro, you are not gonna be the one to fucking...
But in his
Save
mind,
them.
These voices, the voice of God is telling
her
right now,
God,
you need to
do
this. You're my 13th disciple and I need you to do this. So in no way defending these actions in the slightest. Holy fuck, I can't imagine what he was going through. Or what Whitey went through. Or what any of the other 12 people went through.
I'm not even ready to get into the other 12 people.
Well, you ready to get into
but
the second one?
Now that we've said that... understand our perspective as we continue to talk about the next
victims. Oh, yeah. I hope no one ever thinks we're ever defending anyone, because if you murder people on purpose, you're a piece of fucking shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Unless that person has done severe wrong, bro.
I'm going to take that back. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Watch City of God.
Well, have you seen viral video going around of that chick that got, like, she murdered a pedophile. Straight up fucking murdered a pedophile. And she's being taken out of the courtroom after she gets sentenced to life in prison for murdering someone. And deadass, the fucking paparazzi or whoever were out there, like, do you have any regrets? And she was like, murdering that pedophile was the best day of my life. And she was like, bam! I do it again every fucking day.
Good.
Yeah. So, like, here's the thing. Don't murder innocent people.
Do not ever murder an innocent person. Don't murder someone because you think that it's saving the state.
No.
Murder someone
I won't even condone murder at all.
Okay.
But I'm going to say is take your own responsibility into your own hands.
Okay. Fact.
You do your shit.
That's way more important than anything we could ever say.
But don't kill innocent people.
Do not ever.
Yeah.
And also, if you're just a murderous motherfucker, maybe, like, take a step back from people.
From everything.
Go
into the woods for a while. Yeah.
Well, do you think that's really going to help? Or do you think they're going to go into the woods and be like, everybody is even worse than I thought?
Then stay
like the
there.
Unabomber, bro.
Stay
okay, back to her.
Second murder.
Sorry.
Second murder.
We're only on the second murder.
Okay, are you ready for this? How long do you think it took him to murder another person?
Like, 5 days.
11.
Oh, whoa.
11 days, October 24th, 1972.
Okay.
Her picked up 24-year-old Mary Guilfoyle, who was hitchhiking because she was late for an interview. She was like a college student.
Fuck.
Yeah. Herb heard the voices again. So while he was still driving the car, he stabbed Mary in the chest and back until she died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whilst driving?
Yeah. But here's the thing, almost every person he murdered, he got that telepathic communication.
And it was just in a moment.
Yeah, that
he
said...
Does he see the person and then he thinks
he'll see the person and he'll get a telepathic communication that says, I'm your next willing victim. You need to kill me. And then he kills them, in most cases.
Everyone needs to have that healthy fear.
Everyone.
If we preach one thing... I'm holding the mic. If we preach one thing on this goddamn podcast... It is to have a healthy fear.
Yeah.
And there is a difference between having a healthy fear and being fucking scared of everything.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't stress yourself out like that. Don't be scared of everything. Have a healthy fear that anyone could be anyone.
100%.
And that anything could be anything. So be trusting. Cool, 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 cool.
Like, okay, here is something I struggle with all the fucking time. I am super fucking nice. I go out of my way to be super fucking nice. You know what I mean? And I struggle with that because, like, I'll meet, like, strangers, I'll meet, like, whatever, I'm, like, being nice to them, and then they push my niceness a little too far. And I'm like, now you're being creepy, now I have to have my healthy fear.
And
then
I
have to pull back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't make me pull back.
You could be cool, dude. You could just keep being cool.
Yeah, but now I'm scared you're gonna slit my throat and fucking leave me in the woods. Like, why you gotta do this shit to me, man? Because I got my healthy fear, but I'm also a nice person. So, like, stop testing me.
Thank God you have that healthy fear, though, because some people are going to test you, and it's because you should have a healthy fear of them.
Yeah, 100%.
Whereas some people are going to test you, and unfortunately, you're going to have your healthy fear, and they're going to have fucked up.
Facts.
Right?
Facts on the pot.
Sometimes you're going to have that healthy fear, and it's going to be so fucking good you did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to all you fucking bitches Okay, maybe that's harsh. Fucking shout out to all you motherfuckers.
No, shout out to you fucking bitches. Listen to
okay.
Me.
Have that healthy fear.
Yeah.
Shout out from the rooftop, Mads. We are actually not on the rooftop, but we're pretty damn close.
Healthy fear.
Have a healthy
fear. Oh, have it off key, too. Have it super off key.
Yeah. Have a healthy fucking fear. That's all.
Well, unfortunately, Mary did not have that.
No.
As with many female hitchhikers in the 70s.
So he kills a lot of females. Well, but obviously not only because he killed that old man.
He does crazy murders, bro.
Okay, okay.
So, with Mary, he murders her in the car. She's dead, right?
While driving, bro.
He pulls over onto this hillside road, pulls her body out, rips out all of her internal organs, and decorates the hillside with them. And by that, I mean he put them in specific artistic patterns. He made symbols. He made art, if you can call it that,
art?
With her internal organs.
Okay.
And I hesitate even saying that, but that's the words that he put it in. It's fucked.
Fucked.
In his mind, so that's what fucked. He was doing, because in his mind, he was showing God that he had done another sacrifice and he was making homage to God. So that's what he was doing with that.
We need to start recording, like, visually this podcast so you guys can fucking see what I'm going through.
I have been waiting for that moment, bro, because I want our fans to see us struggle.
They deserve to see us struggle.
Yep, yep.
You guys deserve to see us struggle.
You have earned it at this point.
Honestly, 30, this is 30 dose episodes?
30
How do you
dose.
Say 30 dose?
I don't know. I took 4 years of high school Spanish. I don't know, jack fuck.
I took 0 years ever of Spanish and went to Cancun and sounded like a fucking fool.
I can so say, 30 donde dose. Está la biblioteca?
I can
where's
say,
the library?
Pantalones, which is pants, and also...
How do you say help in Spanish?
Fucking beat me, bruh.
Ayúdame.
Really?
Yeah.
Ayúdame?
Ayúdame.
Ayúdame!
Yeah, I learned that shit from Dora.
Wow. And also, swiper, no swiping.
Fucking swiper's a bitch ass.
Swiper keeps swiping.
Yeah.
Okay, okay,
always
okay.
Be swiping, okay,
yeah.
Okay. We gotta get into the third murder because there's
13. Oh, there's 13. We're only at three, bruh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on November 2nd.
November 2nd.
Yeah, the next month after the first two murders.
Yes.
Herb became burdened with the guilt of his sins.
Burdened because he should, because this
he
is
should.
Fucked.
Yeah. So he went to St. Mary's Catholic Church in Los Gatos so he could confess.
Los Gatos.
Which means the cats.
Really?
Gatos is cats.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a gato.
Gato. Yeah.
I have a cat.
Yeah.
His name's Davis. He loves his new home, but
also,
keep going.
Are you guys ready for Spanish on the pod? Because I guess
it seems
we're professors.
Like we're getting a lot of it.
All of our Hispanic listeners are like, fuck you, bitches.
You sound like shit.
I'm sorry to our Hispanic listeners.
I'm not.
We're white as shit.
I hope you love us anyway, because we try.
We do. Yes.
Keep going.
Thank you, Zach. But Herb believed that the priest at this church, Father Henry Tomei,
okay.
would hear that he was on a quest from God and offer himself up as the next sacrifice.
Oh.
Because he was, his idea was like, oh, I'm going to go confess my sins, but once this priest, the father, understands what I'm doing, he's going to offer himself up, right? He's going to say that this is all okay.
Fuck, he's not.
No.
He's not. He's
so
not.
After confessing his sins to Father Tomei, Herb opened up the confessional door on the priest's side and stabbed Father Tomei in the heart.
Okay, he hasn't even offered himself yet, dog.
Well, he did telepathically.
Telepath.
Which is so real to her.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
It's hard. This
that
is a
sucks.
Hard case.
That sucks.
So as Father Tomei was bleeding to death on the floor, he said to Herb, I forgive you for what you have done to me.
Oof.
Herb then proceeded to kick and beat the priest until he died. Yeah.
Oof.
So Father Tomei... You are a different kind of person, man.
You're a different kind of person.
If someone stabbed me in the heart, I'd say, fuck you. And then I'd die.
I say, fight the... Okay. Let's take it back. Let's bring it back. What the fuck? What the fuck, bruh?
Father
I was just
Tomei...
here for you to confess to. God
yeah.
damn it.
Father Tomei
Don't
said,
kill
I
me
forgive
for
you for what you've done to me.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Father Tomei went out. Far easier than anyone else did because he had some sort of peace in his mind.
He did.
And to Father Tomei, respect.
I hope you are happy
Cheers.
Wherever you are, man. Father Tomei.
Father Tomei.
But a parishioner watched Herb run away and gave the police a description
oh,
of what he
shit.
Saw.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But unfortunately, this did not help police come any closer to catching Herb.
I'm sure he was
He was
just
like, oh, it was
dude.
A young man in a black hoodie. And they're like, great, that's
Fuck,
fucking
we know
25%
of, those.
Of California.
Yeah,
so...
Yeah. Everyone's white and in a black hoodie, bro.
Yeah, literally.
What do you expect?
So they really couldn't do shit with that.
That sucks.
So at this point, no murders can be connected to Herb. There's nothing. There's nothing. And nothing at all. So now we'll get into the fourth attack.
Okay. Well,
and
should
I call
pee
this,
first?
I should pee first.
We should pee
Pissing
first.
Pissing on the pump.
Boop, 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 boop,
okay.
boop, 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 boop.
Let's take the mic in so they can hear it, though. You guys want to piss with us?
We're going pee.
After murdering Father Tomei,
Yes.
I know. A fucking Father Tomei, he has my heart, man. He sounds like a dope guy. I have a
necklace on, but I'm holding it like you are.
You can do the sign of the cross if you want. But Herb decides to join the Marines. And are you ready for this shit? This is what
blew... How does he get allowed into the Marines?
Oh, this is what blew my mind out of all the
I
read. All
right, I'm already pissed.
He passed all of the physical requirements and the psychiatric test.
Okay.
The Marines were like, oh, you hear the voice of God? Welcome fucking aboard, brother. Can't wait to have you next to us.
Y'all want to hear how fucking accurate that is still to this day?
It is.
Fucking way too accurate.
The Marines will let anyone fucking in.
Anyone except for someone who maybe sold drugs in 8th grade for some fucking reason.
Do you
want to
hear why Herb wasn't let in? Because he told them about his drug use. Even though he wasn't currently... Well, he was kind of currently on drugs. But, yeah, he passed the psychiatric test being like, oh, God talks to me all the time. They're like, fucking great, bro.
We don't have any issues with that.
And not talking shit on any of our listeners or anyone who has been in the Marines, because you guys are fucking heroes.
Or if you feel like God speaks to you, although question that shit.
Question it. But genuinely, like, if you're in the Marines, if you have been in the Marines, fucking, you're a hero. Genuinely. Yeah. I genuinely believe that, because you have been fighting for something that you believe in. Mm-hmm. And that's all that fucking matters. But the actual Marine establishment accepted Herbert Mullen in. Have this bitch is fucking he's off the rails.
Granted, nobody knows, but he's already killed 3 people. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to this man's mindset, you should be able to tell something's up.
Well, he's delusional enough that you should be able to pick up on that pretty quickly.
Something's up. Here.
Cracking on the pod.
Cracking on the pod.
Yeah. So, he is denied entry to the Marines because of his drug use.
Okay, right? Well, at least he was denied entry.
It gets worse. Because of this, Herb stops using weed and acid.
Using weed.
Okay, he's no longer abusing marijuana.
Okay.
But he starts blaming his drug use on all of his mental problems.
All right, fuck that.
Yeah. So, in December of 1972, this is all still happening in 1972, Herb purchases a .22 caliber. Just a little, like, rifle. Not rifle. It's a little revolver. Pistol. Yeah. From his local Western auto store, which I guess is a thing.
You can buy guns at auto stores?
You can buy guns fucking anywhere. In Welcome the West? To America.
America. Fuck yeah.
But he told the gun, store owner that he was using it for target practice. Although his real intentions were to much kill more people, sinister. Bruh. Yeah.
Fact.
Well, you remember he blamed weed and acid for all of his problems, right?
Now he's gonna blame a gun.
He decided he needed to kill Jim Guerna. Guerna?
Oh, man.
The boy that had first given him weed in high school.
No!
Yeah. Imagine that, man. You were just smoking with some kid in high school, and all of a sudden he comes back however many years later to be like, hey, fuck you.
I'm not gonna name names, but if I were to go back and kill the first person who ever gave me weed in high school, I mean, I wouldn't be too pissed. That guy's a fucking asshole.
If I were to go back... I don't know. Oh, I remember who I would kill. Never mind.
Oh, you remember who you would kill.
Yeah.
I remember who I would kill.
Yeah.
However, I wouldn't kill that bitch.
Fucking no. You were the one that smoked the weed.
Yes, I chose that shit, dude.
Yeah.
God. Stop blaming other people.
Mm-hmm. So he purchased that gun in December of 1972, right?
Okay.
In January of 1973, the 25th, he went to Jim's house.
Okay.
Only to find that Jim had moved away.
Whoa.
So the new owner of the home, Kathy Francis, gave Herb Jim's new address and he went on his way.
Okay.
Because she was kind of like, okay, this guy's kind of crazy, this guy's kind of whatever, but apparently it's Jim's friend, so I'm just going to send him that way. Because I think Jim was still kind of involved in drugs, so she was probably like, okay, like, this is one of his clients, like, whatever. Once Herb arrived at Jim's house, he shot Jim in the head, dead, immediately.
Jesus.
His wife was upstairs.
Oh my God.
She hears this going on. So, he starts to stab his wife, because she had come down the stairs to be like, what's going on? He starts stabbing her and then shoots her in the head.
That doesn't seem like God told you to do that, bro.
This is the one where I don't think he heard voices. I think this was his own personal vendetta. Yeah. And then once both their bodies were dead on the floor, he proceeded to stab them multiple times.
Overkill.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
Well, you ready for this? Herb then went back to Kathy's house and shot her as well as her two sons, who were 4 and 9 at the time of
back
their deaths.
Back the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Now, you can see this as two possible reasons that he did this.
Explain them to me, because I'm not seeing them.
So, the first is that Kathy's husband was a drug dealer, which she did tell Herb. She said, oh, are you looking for weed right now? Because my husband can get you. And he was like, no, I need Jim.
Okay. In his mind, though, yeah. Jim sold him weed.
Yeah.
That guy sold him weed.
That's one way. Or you could see it as the same direction that he was trying to get rid of witnesses. Because Kathy gave him Jim's address.
Right. That makes...
So...
Unfortunately, that makes sense, too.
There are two possibilities.
All right. Thank you for showing them to me, because for a second there, all I could think was rage!
Yeah. Well, he killed a 4 and 9-year-old, and then...
Fuck! You didn't have to kill the kids, ever.
No, ever.
I mean, I can't understand, but, like, from your perspective, you've just now killed this man. This woman gave you the address. You gotta go take care of your...
From
witnesses.
His perspective, I assume that it was because her husband was a drug dealer and he was on a vendetta against weed.
Yeah.
But
and she said, you want weed.
Also, if you look at it from, like, a sane person's point of view,
much
it's
more
to get
valid.
Rid of witnesses.
Yeah. But then, even the kids, like, bruh.
Yeah, it's fucked
up. Nah.
All of this has been fucked up.
All of it is fucked.
So now we'll get into the fifth attack.
I can't believe we're only at 5.
Fucked up. Well, he's killed multiple people in the third attack.
Wait, that's
the
fourth attack. There was, like, what? Dude. Other chick. Chick's girlfriend.
Yeah.
The dude's wife. Girlfriend? Wife? I don't know.
So
two
what
kids.
It was
that's
Kathy,
six people.
Kathy, her two kids, Jim, his wife, and then the other two from before. So that's 7.
That's 7 total people.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. Thanks
so
for
now,
doing the math with me. Math on the pod.
Math on the pod. So now, on February 10th, 1973,
okay,
Herb was hiking in a remote area of Henry Cowell Redwood State Park.
Never heard of it, but I have heard of the Redwoods.
Also, Herb was super into the outdoors. He said his first memory was actually being at a Redwood Park with his family.
The Redwoods are beautiful.
Yeah, and he said he was very young, like 2, maybe younger, and he was looking in this, like, puddle, and he saw the sunshine in it, and he saw all these things, and so he went and, like, poked the sun with his finger, and he saw all these ripples, and he said that he felt, like, hope and joy and peace.
Dude, I have chilled, bro.
Yeah. So that was his first memory. So he has a very deep connection to nature.
Okay.
So I think what he was trying to do here was get connected to that again.
Yeah.
But instead, he ran into 4 teenage boys who were camping in that remote area.
Fuck no.
Yeah. And, like, we live in Utah. Y'all already know.
So we won't tell you where. Bum, bum, bum.
Although you could probably pinpoint us
bum,
if you
bum,
want
bum.
To, but you don't.
but you won't.
But, like, you know how, like, there are camping spots where it's like, oh, that's a camping spot. Like, right off the road, you pull off, that's a camping spot.
Yeah.
This was, like, remote. Like, you hike to it. It's not even, like, a designated camping spot.
Okay.
So he was just out there hiking, and he ran into those 4 teenage boys. So Herb told them that he was a park ranger and he needed them to leave because they were polluting the forest with their weed smoke.
Mm.
Too bad they were smoking weed. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
And of course these 4 teenage boys were like, oh, how about you fucking get the hell out of here?
Yeah.
Right? They're just trying to have a fun camping night. They're like,
get out of our business, bro. Dude, it's like Stoney McStoner face.
Oh my god, Stoney McStoner
face. It's just like Stoney McStoner face.
Get out of our shit, bro.
Get out of our shit. Thank god that guy didn't murder us.
Yeah, backstory in Stoney McStoner face.
Oh, can you even say it?
Stoney McStoner face. There was a spot where we used to go into the woods and we would beep, 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 beep. And when we were doing that, this guy would show up and he would pretend to be like a high school student wearing a fedora. Doing all this shit. And he would be like, hello, fellow children. Are we partaking in drugs?
Yes, exactly that.
And we would be like,
No.
So Stoney McStonerface, if you're still out there, fuck right off, please.
Dude, if Stoney McStonerface listens to our podcast, I'm fucking terrified.
He's probably part of the FBI.
Healthy fear, dude.
Well, more than healthy
there's
fear.
There's no way that guy's part of the FBI, because did he not partake in boop-a-doop-boop-boop-boop?
Mm.
I don't know.
He might have.
He may have.
I don't know.
But dude showed up. He told all of us, like we've ran into this guy multiple different times at the same place.
Yeah.
And each time he'd tell us a different backstory. Who the fuck is this guy? Was he out there to kill us?
Yeah.
Could have been, because we were out in the woods.
In the woods.
But, like, yikes.
He was sketchy. He was
Stoner sketchy. Stoner face, Herbert Mullen, I don't know.
Same person.
One in the same.
Same fucking person.
Very quite possible. Thank God we didn't get murdered.
Yeah.
But we did always have a healthy fear of that guy.
And we always had a big group of people, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Except for that one time where the deer almost fucking killed us. But
that
whatever.
That was fucking horrifying. But, okay, so these teenage boys tell Herb to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Okay? But then they telepathically told him that they were willing sacrifices.
No.
Herb shot them in the head with a .22 caliber, the one that he had from the previous one, stole their rifle and their money, and then left.
Why didn't you steal their weed, bruh?
And dude, here's the thing. I actually took a peek and it wasn't about that weed life anymore.
Obviously not.
But I took a peek at like the little shelter that they made. It looked like they were camping there for a pretty long time. It looked like they were just having a fun time.
Okay.
But they made like a really cool shelter. If you look up the crime scene pics, like it's actually crazy.
In comparison to the teepee, what would you say?
Better.
Whoa.
It was actually long term. Like you could live there for months.
Shit.
They made it insulated. They had beds. They had a little stove. Like, they were out
fuck
there camping.
Fuck yeah, these guys. Okay, yeah. Cool.
But Herbert went into their fucking tent, and they were cornered. So he shot one, and he was blocking the exit already. So it was so easy for him to shoot all four of them.
Damn.
Yeah, they couldn't get out. They literally couldn't get out because he was blocking the only exit.
It's a tent.
Yeah.
What can you do?
And are you ready
for this?
Tragic. The bodies of the boys weren't found for a week after the shooting.
Oh.
And even worse than that.
Before that?
Well, even worse than that, dude. I was listening to one of the crime scene investigators who went to that scene. They found the boys, and by the time that they found them, it was actually like already dark because it was like in a remote part of this like forest. And they couldn't leave them because now it's an open crime scene, right? So two fucking deputies had to stay with the bodies overnight.
That's really rough.
And
dude.
They said that the fear that they felt was like nothing before because they didn't know. They didn't know if the killer was still out there. They didn't know if he was going to come back.
Fuck.
It was just those two deputies and four dead bodies in a tent.
Okay, like,
and they had to
like,
stay there all night.
That fucks me up, bro.
This guy, like, he said he was fucked up. And he was like, oh, yeah, like, I was a police officer in the 70s. Like, I try and be macho. I try and be whatever.
Sure, he's handled plenty of murders.
He said him and his partner were holding each other shaking all night.
Mm.
All fucking night. Yeah.
Okay, that's really rough.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to you two deputies for staying there.
But for real.
That's rough.
For real. So now we'll get into the final murder.
Okay.
This is the last
one. Yeah, we've conquered a lot. Mm-hmm. Shit.
So on February 13th of the same year, remember the
That's
first
a day
murder
before Valentine's Day, dude.
Yeah, and this fifth attack of those four teenage boys happened on February 10th.
Right.
Remember, the bodies weren't found for a week after.
Shit.
So the murder that gets him caught is on the 13th. I hope I'm not being too convoluted right now.
No.
But
you
basically,
got it.
After this last murder, he's in custody pretty much right after.
Yeah.
So they didn't know
that he had
did
committed
that
this other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll get into that. February 13th, Herb is driving down a highway in Santa Cruz when he spotted Fred Perez, who was doing yard work in front of his house.
Okay.
Herb drove past, flipped a U-turn.
No.
Parked in front of Fred's house. And the whole time, Fred is just living his suburban fantasy.
Yeah, someone just pulled up in front of
their
house.
He's watering his
whatever.
Lawn. He doesn't give a shit. He then placed the stolen rifle from the four teenage boys on the hood of his car, aimed it at Fred, and then shot him through the heart.
Oh,
God. He then packed up his stuff and calmly drove away.
He's like, done deal. Let's go.
The only issue with this murder, other than it being a fucking murder, is the fact that it was in the middle of the day. So more than
a dozen witnesses
got his license plate. They got the make and model of his car.
Yes.
And they called the police.
Nab that motherfucker.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, Herb, that you've had such a tragic life and that this is what you, the hand you've been dealt. But fuck you.
Yeah.
You can't be doing this
shit. You can't
shit.
Be doing it.
Bottom line.
Yep. Herb was still driving down the same street and he was arrested not even 3 minutes later.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And he did not resist arrest.
And at this point, they still haven't found those four boys.
No, they did. Wait, no.
They haven't.
No, they didn't. They didn't. They haven't. Okay, okay, okay. No, okay, no, okay. Yeah, okay. They haven't, because it's the 13th and they didn't find him for a week later.
Right.
Yep. But he didn't resist arrest, which really surprised the arresting officer.
It would surprise me,
because he had a rifle and he just randomly shot a dude in his yard. But apparently he, like, pulled Herb over and Herb was like, all right, you got me. And they just put him into fucking handcuffs and put him in the back of the car and that was it.
Do you think that same thing would have happened if they had caught him earlier?
Yeah.
I think it would have too.
Yeah.
Based on everything we've heard about this guy.
I don't think he would fight it too hard.
Well, it's because I don't think he thinks like he's doing everything right. I think he knows it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think he also just thinks he's doing it for the Lord, which is
literally,
to him, justification.
Well, in the documentary I was watching, which I didn't like put this in my notes, but they went to the last apartment that he had, and the landlord had like taken a box of his stuff and like put it in the basement because like he was gone, he wasn't really paying rent, so she had like taken some of his stuff out. And they were looking through some of his writings, and a lot of the times he referenced the 12 apostles plus one.
And
basically signifying that he was the plus one, saying that I am the 13th apostle, and like God has placed this on me. Which I can't imagine, because I grew up religious technically. Yeah. I left like my church when I was 5 years old.
See, I grew up religiously and left at like 14, 15.
Yeah. But with this, like, he thought God was really trying to get him to do something.
And if you look at it as like Herb going through what Herb's going through, mm-hmm. right? It's like, to place like as much blame as you would place on a person who was sane doing that shit, it's not the same. It's not. You can be insane, you can do horrible things, and you're still held accountable. You should still be held accountable.
This is still the same level of not okay as if anyone else doing it. Yeah.
Fact. Yeah. It's the same level of not okay. It's just a little bit harder to, like, accept that.
It's harder to hate him.
Yeah, it is. It's
you
a
can
much
look
harder.
At a Ted Bundy and be like, fuck you until you die.
Because you knew you were charismatic. Mm-hmm. You knew how to get into people's minds. You knew how to get what you wanted.
This one, he thought he was doing it for the greater good, even though he fucking wasn't.
He was not.
Mm-mm.
Terrible delusions, bro. Mm-hmm. Sucks.
It's
you did
so
it regardless,
sad.
And then you can't be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, that's rough.
Now we'll get into the arrest and the trial.
All right.
Which
so
he is pretty speedy.
Got pulled over.
Yeah, he's pulled over. They take him into custody. I mean, without a doubt, he committed one murder.
At
they
least.
Know that for sure.
At least. Yeah. So how do they find out about the others? That's the big question.
Well, he quickly confessed to his crimes and told police the only reason that California hadn't experienced a deadly earthquake was because he was a disciple acting on behalf of God.
Okay.
So he straight up told him, he was like, I killed these people. I killed them on this day. He spilled everything.
Imagine feeling that confident in what you've done to tell the police that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That tells you how far into his delusions he was.
Well, do you remember when I told you about bad timing coincidences earlier?
Yeah. Oh, no.
This is seriously the worst fucking timing ever.
Oh,
okay.
God.
8 days after Herb's arrest, a 6.0 magnitude earthquake in Southern California.
What?
That caused over $1 million worth.
6.0?
Yeah.
Okay,
it caused over $1 million
bro.
Worth of damage. I don't know how many people died. I couldn't find that information. I assume a few.
At least.
But an earthquake did happen after he was arrested. And so
he probably, to him, he
it.
Was like, dude, do you not see? You arrested me so I couldn't do my work.
Yeah.
And now what happens?
Yeah. Really bad timing.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Really bad
timing. Yeah. What the fuck?
So, since Herb openly admitted to his crimes, his trial focused on whether or not he was sane and aware of his actions or not. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And while he was in custody, which should have happened long before, he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah. With a big emphasis on auditory hallucinations.
Auditory.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Visual at all, but like, to have...
He was having all the hallucinations, man. It was really bad. So the jury decided that in the case of Jim Guerna, his wife... Mm-hmm. And Kathy Francis and her sons, Herb was aware of his actions and went out of his way.
At least in those cases, he had to be.
Yeah. And he went out of his way to eliminate witnesses, so he received first-degree murder charges in those cases.
Okay.
And for all other murders, he received second degree.
I can appreciate that at least they saw that he wasn't in his right mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his delusions didn't even play into that. That was his own personal vendetta.
Yeah, well, yeah, those fucking, the weed killings, yeah, bro. Like, yeah, obviously, that's not God telling you to do that. That's you being like, fuck, she gave me the address. Mm-hmm. She knows. Guaranteed
he gave me weed in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guaranteed she told her husband, yeah, at the very least, he sells weed. Let's kill them all. That is, if God was telling him to do that, God was wrong.
Yeah. Well, God has been wrong a few times, but that's my own personal opinion. Fuck? The Holocaust. Okay. Yeah, I don't
know. But whoa.
Yeah.
But I can also, I can, I mean, the fact that he only got second degree for the rest, at least he got first degree for some.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And at least he got second degree for the others.
Exactly. Yeah.
At least he got something. Yeah. Because a lot of times people get off. And also a lot of times people get.
He killed 13 people.
Thank God this guy didn't.
And he openly admitted. He was, he's 100% like, yeah, like, I did that shit.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, this guy's going places.
Yeah, just jail, mostly. But, I mean, no surprise to either of us here. He received life in prison.
He probably also got life in prison.
He got lice and life in prison.
I can assure you. Lice is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. Lice fucking sucks, bro.
Yeah.
So Herb received life in prison, right? Woo. With the possibility of parole.
With it. How the fuck did he get that?
Well, I don't even know if it really counts because all of his parole requests have been denied. Guess how many he has made so far?
Like 8.
12, eight, and he 12. Is not eligible again until, like, 2030 something. Yeah, and he is old at this point.
Dude, he was born in 1947.
Yeah, so he's gonna die in prison.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but at the same time, you gotta stay there, bud. You gotta stay there.
You know, I think that there are, like, yes, I agree with you. Yeah. Because in this guy's situation, he's got the delusions. And as much as you wish that, like, he would be able to handle that differently or that other things could happen,
yeah,
rather than murder, you already know, like, he gets out, he's got the delusions. Even as an old man, I'm sure he'd like to fulfill his duty to God.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he's not going to as great as he was at murder I don't think I'm speaking English. But, like, I don't think he's going to be, like, as great at murder as he was before.
He's not in his prime.
Yeah. No, he's not in his prime. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't doubt that he'd still get out there and try.
Well, that's the thing, because I looked into this after that, because I am all about rehabilitation.
Yes, and I think
no one is that's ever how they were. You know what I mean?
Yes.
People grow. And so I looked into it. Even his medications haven't helped him.
Mental illness is a fucking hard factor to deal
with. Into it, and while his medications have helped him be functional in prison, they haven't stopped
to be in society.
How severe his schizophrenia is. Mm. He still is very much suffering.
And even people who are able to, like when the medicine that they're taking for their schizophrenia or whatever, mm-hmm, while it may help, mm-hmm, it also is very detrimental. So while it may help in one aspect, it's going to severely hurt you in another aspect.
Yeah. And not everyone with schizophrenia has murderous intentions.
No,
I would say
not
the vast majority of people don't.
I would agree.
But with Herb, it didn't take that away.
No.
If he could just have schizophrenia and be out in the world, that's
that would
different.
Be a totally different thing.
But
and
he
I would
is on a death
for
mission.
Him.
He's on a death mission.
His that's mind it. Has taken him on a death mission.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether that's what he wanted or not, that's
it
where his mind is.
Wasn't,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's where his mind is. And you, unfortunately, no matter what you do, no matter what the professionals do, it's not necessarily going to stop that.
Which is why he's still in prison. And he's gonna be there forever.
And as much as that is so tragic to me, I'm glad he's off the streets.
Yeah, it's really scary.
Because
to think
otherwise,
about.
Innocent people would be dying for a cause that isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's real to him.
Yeah, 100%. But I thought you would like this little tidbit.
I can't wait.
Just get this out. Herb, he's currently housed in Mule Creek State Prison in California.
Mm-hmm.
Although, he spent time at California Medical Facility, where he actually shared an adjoining cell with Ed Kemper.
Are you ready for this, bitch? You're not ready.
Actually.
You are 100% serious.
This is what Ed Kemper said about Herb. Ed Kemper said about Herb. Herb had a habit of singing and bothering people when someone tried to watch TV. So I threw water on him to shut him up. Then, when he was a good boy, I'd give him some peanuts. Herbie liked peanuts. That was effective because pretty soon he asked permission to sing. Dude. That's called behavior modification treatment.
No fucking way, dude.
Ed Kemper.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Ed Kemper and Herbert Mullin were cellmates,
the
bro?
The fact that he said, and then when he was a good boy, I'd give him some peanuts. Herbie liked peanuts.
Herbie liked peanuts.
I'm like, Ed, you're gross as fuck.
Ed Kemper has severely helped with us understanding serial killers, right?
Because he
wants to talk about it. So the fact that we have this quote is simply because Ed Kemper wanted to talk about it.
Because he's so narcissistic that all he wants to do is talk about, serial killers.
He's like, I know bitches love to hear it. Bitches love to hear it.
But he really has helped.
Yeah. And also, would we have had insight to Herbie likes peanuts if we didn't have this fucking Ed Kemper quote? Bro?
Herbie fucking loves peanuts, bro.
What would this episode be without that quote?
Dude, I'm fucking shitting my pants. But to fuck cap you, it Ed all Kemper. Off.
And fuck you, Herbert Mullin.
Herbie currently is 74 years old, and he's likely going to die in prison.
But he's still alive.
So that's what he's doing. Yeah.
Shit.
And should we look up a current picture of him? That's Alec.
Like Alec.
That's Alec.
Hang on. Alec also looks just like Johnny Knoxville in a lot of situations.
And
he also
what's his
looks
name?
Like... What's
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Yeah. Oh, dude. Alec looks just like Bill Hader.
Yep. Oh. Oh, let's hope Alec doesn't age like this.
Is he bald?
No.
Big question.
No.
Okay, so he's not going to age like this.
Fucking bitch. That's Herbert Mullin in 2021.
Surprisingly, he looks better now.
What?
Well, like better than I would expect him to have looked as an old man. Sorry, no, he looks way better as a young man,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was...
But he
looks handsome, young man.
Oh, very handsome.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Alec. But he, like, as far as old men go, I was expecting way worse.
Yeah, we've seen some gross shit.
We've seen some nasty old men.
Yeah. We've seen some gross old people.
Shout out to this guy not looking so fucking nasty, even though he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't mean to be.
That's why, dude, I'm conflicted about this fucking story. I really am. Because he was super, super sick. And after the death of his friends, that's what, like,
set him.
Broken on the pod.
That's like four.
That fucking put him over the edge.
Mm.
I mean, you already know, like, we lost a super close friend when we were teenagers.
I've lost many close friends.
And I'm not gonna say that I am mentally stable.
Nah.
But
if you thought either of us were, you're fucking wrong.
You haven't been listening to the pod. But, like, I can't imagine already having, like, auditory and visual hallucinations and then having that on top of it. And then having repressed homosexual urges.
Oh, my God.
And then the religious aspect in there. I mean, it's
the religious aspect throws a
rough. It's rough.
Well, like, the way that I mean, and I know that not everybody looks at, like, cases this way. And, like, maybe you shouldn't if it's not what it is for you, you know?
Yeah.
But the way that, like, especially when we talk about these cases on the pod, I like to think about it as, like, okay, in this situation, I am Herbert, okay?
Mm.
I have these auditory delusions, whatever.
Yeah.
You're my best friend. How the fuck would you handle that?
I would definitely get you some help.
Right? As you should.
Yeah.
What if, the way that I picture it, if you were that person, and I love and I care about you so much, yet you're dealing with all of this.
Yeah.
And how are you supposed to get through that?
It's hard. It's
and how am
hard,
I supposed
dude.
To be there for you through it,
mm-hmm.
right? I can only imagine the people in Herbert's life trying to be there for him and not being able to. And that's the biggest part.
Yeah.
Is that no matter how much the people around you are trying to help you, if you are in a situation like Herbert is in, you got to get into a stable, unfortunately, institution.
Well, back then, that wasn't even an option.
And the institutions weren't helping you.
Exactly. Back then, it was like they didn't have a full grasp on what was going on. They were putting you into
electroshock shit,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, 100%.
Fucking lobotomies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck a lobotomy.
Fuck a lobotomy. Yeah, but fucking... Herb, man.
He
put me into a fucking state of mind. Shit's fucking insane, man. I really...
And, again, I mean, we've touched on this base, but, like, to anybody who is schizophrenic, or anybody mm-hmm. who knows someone who's schizophrenic, or anybody who cares about someone who's schizophrenic, I am one of those people who knows and loves someone who's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Keep loving them, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully they aren't out here killing people.
And I just gotta say, you are fucking not less of a person just because you're dealing with mental illness.
Not at
any form of mental illness. Like, you really are no less of a person, but you gotta reach out and you gotta get help.
And
no matter how hard that can be, no matter if you feel like you have no one, you gotta reach out until someone listens.
And I hope that you guys can understand that me and Maddie right here, like, we have a Twitter, which we're about to shoot at you.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram we're about to shoot at you.
Yeah.
We have a fucking Crew Trime Gmail we're about to shoot at you.
Which you can reach out to us on reach all out to of us those things.
Because guaranteed we're there for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there and try to understand you as much as we can. And we love you guys.
Yeah, and we're no professionals, but we
None.
Can help get you resources. And we can be there and we can talk to you. And that's pretty much all you can do.
And that's all you can hope for. And that's
yeah.
all that we want to be there for you for. So we
yeah.
love you guys.
Yeah.
Anything that you're going through. And I hope you guys can understand that we are human beings. And we are people, and especially with this little hiatus we've taken,
yeah.
we've needed it because we're people and we go through things just the way you guys do. So if you guys need anything, we're here for you. And honestly, we have felt everything from you guys. We have needed you guys, and you guys have been here.
Wait, who has been the chick who has been sending us
Sammy.
The love? Sammy. Sammy,
you're our
you're
listener.
My bitch. If you're ever
Fuck.
In Utah, you hit us up, bitch. I'm not even joking for a minute.
And I'm not going to name your state, but guaranteed if we are ever there, you can count on
mm-hmm.
us to be there. Everything that you have said, I can't describe to you how much your messages personally have
yeah.
meant to me.
No, you're dope.
And I know they've meant a lot to Maddie.
Yeah, you're
so,
a dope bitch, for sure. And I want
to
get drunk
to you.
With you.
Yes!
I want to hang out. You are a dope mm. chick, so thank you for all the love, man.
We're sobbing on the... God! I love you, Sammy. Thank you. And again, thank you to everybody else who has reached out to us in this fucking tough time.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah.
Tough time.
Yeah.
On that same note, mm. we're on the uphill, dude.
We
are climbing. We're vibing.
Can you hear our palms together right now?
I'm squeezing the fuck out of Maddie's hand.
I got lotion on there. I'm sorry. I'm clammy.
I'm just tough. So I was just tight into my grip. But we love you guys so much. And again, we mentioned that we have a Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram, Gmail, whatever the
our
fuck.
Our Twitter is at...
Fuck if I know. Crew Trime?
Okay, let's
see.
I don't have
it. It's been too long. Hang on. I mean...
We used to have this down to a science,
I know,
man.
Right? Okay, hang on. What's our Twitter? Our Twitter is... I was right.
Yeah.
At Crew Trime.
Okay, boom.
Yeah.
Instagram at...
Crew Trime Podcast.
Okay. Gmail at...
Crew Trime, a true crime pod... I feel like that's wrong.
Okay.
CrewTrimeTrueCrime@gmail.com.
There we go. Okay. And then our YouTube is...
Crew Trime, a true crime podcast.
Boom.
Boom.
And we're being serious, honestly. I know we have a small community, but we have a fucking dope community.
We have the dopest community.
And I hope you know any messages you send, we read that shit.
Yes.
Any messages you send, we'll reply to that shit.
And if we don't reply immediately,
yeah.
simply it's because we're people and we're going through a lot of shit on our own
yeah,
and we're
yeah.
trying.
Yeah.
But the podcast, I mean, I speak for myself, but I also know I speak for Maddie here. The podcast means a lot to us.
Yeah, it really does.
And, like, the community that we found through it means a lot to us.
Yeah.
So keep on loving us, guys. We're going to keep on loving you. And
always
expect
and forever.
A fucking episode next week because yeah. we're back on our shit, bruh.
This time
Fuck
for real.
Yeah, this time for real.
Hold us to it, bro.
And if you don't hold us to it, we're going to still do it anyway because fuck right off. We do a shit for us.
Yeah. No,
but also we
guys,
do it for you because we love you.
Yep. We are like genuinely here for you guys. And
yes.
I know this has been a mental health centered episode.
It kind of has.
So genuinely, if anyone's going through their shit, shoot us a fucking message.
Shoot us a message.
obviously, if you're listening to our shit, we can relate on something.
At the very least, something.
And I mean, more than that, we can relate because we're human beings. And so we can reach out to you, and you can reach out to us. So yes. Feel free. You know where to contact us.
You do. Twitter at...
No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it again.
Okay, you're right. You heard it before. Yeah. Duh.
Okay, well, we love you guys so much. We love hope you enjoyed so the episode.
Much. Bye! Sleep so tight.
Sleep so tight.
If you don't sleep tight,
we'll come tuck you in tight.
Oh. Okay, love you, love you, love you, love you. Bye.